Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. I am positively in one of those positive places you could be for the holidays. We're at Fadley's. We're at Lexington Market, the new Lexington Market. I just gave away a couple of these Raven scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. I'm about to get the candy cane-scented tickets, so I'll smell like peppermints next week by the time I get the Costas and by the time I get the Planet Fitness and by the time I make my way out next week. But the six shows in a row starting here. We're going to be at Honey's in Althorp on Friday. We're going to be at Deep Pasquale. Having a feast of the seven fishes. And we're going to be with my cousin, John Shields, at Gertrude's at the BMA next Friday. Dan Rodericks is going to join us there. I got seven fishes over here at Fadley's. We got crab cakes. Matt Gallagher has joined us here from the Gold Secker Foundation. I had a couple of cancellations. And, you know, I love having you on, but, like, you were here a couple of 5 months ago. I don't know how often it's too often to bother my former friends of political people who now do good things in the city. I feel like I can't have you on often enough, but I feel like a quarter a year, twice a year, I don't know, but welcome back. I mean, never have to sell you on a crab cake. I'm like, does Gallagher want to come down to Fadley's at Lexington Market? And you're like, you probably canceled something to come here. Probably, right?
Lunch is one of the four most important meals of the day. I am at Fadley's usually twice a month, so it's always a very easy request to fulfill.
All right. Well, how is your version of the holidays in the city going? I know very few people who love the city as much as you do. You are a champion. You're a guy that maybe considered mayoral thoughts or other elected thoughts, but you eat in the city, you love the city, you help run the city, you take great pride in the city. How's the city doing, man?
Holidays are a fantastic time of year. You know, last week was a ton of fun. The monument lighting, you know, Mount Vernon.
Well, we moved fantastic. That to make for better weather, right? Did we have to postpone that?
Not this year.
No.
Last year, there were some issues with the fireworks and the wind, but this year...
It went off on time.
It went off on time.
It was fantastic. It felt a little later to me for some reason.
Nah, I mean, Thanksgiving's later this
My
year.
My tree lighting got canceled at Trade Point.
Huh.
I was doing that for Aaron Tamarchio and the Trade Point folks. I've been wanting to do it. It's my dad worked on that land down there, so we didn't do it. So I missed the tree lighting. So,
yeah.
But my wife, I'll tell you, the monument lighting when I lived downtown for 19 years, I did 15 of them. And the one or two that I didn't do was too damn cold because I could see from my window up Charles Street. we could stay home and have a nog and watch it if we wanted to, but there's something really beautiful about that night. Hot chocolate in the street, the whole thing.
I think there were like five or six events that were surrounding the monument lighting. You know, Catholic Charities had their annual holiday concert at the Basilica the night before. It's just when you get into that first week of December, people's moods improve. Things are a little bit more festive. There's some great things to look forward to. And I live in Mount Vernon, so it's a ton of fun to just be able to walk down to that stuff. Live Baltimore had a great event. I know the Walters hosts a lot of people. People are just out and about. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the church at the northeast corner of Mount Vernon Square, it was recently acquired. It's under the management of Unite Mount Vernon.
It's on the right side, on the side where
Charles.
The Indian joint is, across the street from what the restaurant. What's the restaurant that's in the building on the left?
Doobies?
No, I'm thinking, okay, keep going.
Yeah, but anyway.
Just trying to get the right spot, that's all.
It's a beautiful church. It's been activated by the Ivy Bookstore, and the Ivy Bookstore has a pop-up shop now in the ground floor of the church. But it's a fantastic building. It seats 900. They're holding holiday concerts there. The big one is December 18th. So next time you're in Mount Vernon, definitely swing by and walk through. It's a really exciting space that people drive by all the time, but now it's under new leadership, under new management. It's being activated, and it's really going to bring a lot to Mount Vernon.
Okay. I'm glad. See, this is why I have Matt Gallagher on. He knows things. All right, so you have the Gold Secker Foundation. You want to explain to everybody what that is? Because people are like, all right, what's Matt doing here?
Yeah.
People that know you, people that don't know you. Little background, you were a part of Martin O'Malley's machine that ran the city and ran the state. But part of that is just you were, as far as I know, the policy guy who kept a lot of eye on numbers and metrics and different things like that about how things are getting better and worse. At Gold Secker, what's getting better? And you guys give a lot of money away.
We give away about $6 million a year. We're in our 50th year, which is hard to believe. But There was a immigrant named Morris Goldsecker, came to the United States in the early 1900s, grew a business here. When he passed away in 1973, his estate was worth $11 million, and he gave it all to charity.
$11 million in 1973. I'm trying to think about...
It's a lot.
And it was a lot then, for sure. Yeah, it's
so
a lot now.
we've taken the $11 million, and over 50 years, we've grown it to $150 million. And in the intervening 50 years, we've given away almost $150 million. So it's,
exactly it's, what Mr. Goldsecker probably, that,
yeah,
that was the idea
it's
he had.
The, it's
probably
the miracle,
bigger than the idea he had, maybe.
The
maybe.
Miracle of compound interest is, you know, we're living it.
Did he know that?
I think he knew it at some level. But to be honest with you, 50 years ago, foundations weren't really a thing. There wasn't really a foundation sector. There were charities. There were people who were generous and gave away money.
And
there
was a,
really
it was
wasn't
like
organized
Salvation
philanthropy.
Army. At
yeah,
that point.
There were things
I'm
like that.
I'm just thinking like 60-year things that did exist that I would see when I would Christmas shop down here as a little boy in the early 70s. And Mr. Goldsecker was still alive at that point, right?
Yeah.
So the notion that foundations began and that we see their names on buildings, no matter, and you know, we could famously go through a whole bunch of names that are on buildings here,
yeah,
including Mr. Angelos's name on my school, but endowments. So how many charities, I mean, the way I see, I think of you as an organization, the $6 million, you're like, we give $100,000 to them and $50,000 to them and $200,000 to them and $1 million to them. And then at the end of the year, we go in and say, what do we do? Is that right or am I wrong?
That's a great quick summary. But I mean,
we
give away about $6 million a year. We support in any given year 80 to 90 organizations. In the history of the foundation, we've supported over 600 entities. So some grants are as small as a few thousand dollars. Other grants could be up to $300,000.
So right now, you've got something on your desk that's an envelope from some young entrepreneur in the city or somebody doing something or somebody trying to serve the community better. And they're asking you to help us, and you're like, I got 25 grand for you, but as long as it's earmarked exactly for that, and you're going to come back in a year,
yeah,
and you're going to show me where that money went, right?
It's got to be in Baltimore. It's got to help the people and the institutions in Baltimore. You know me, I don't even like to eat outside of Baltimore City, so we only give away money in Baltimore City. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Where have you been eating lately? Give me some Baltimore, and then we're going to get into... Before we piss everybody off with the Trump this and the city that and the Brandon this and the West that
and
the Ed Hale that and the bridge this and Trump coming to like all of that going on.
Had a great dinner at the Duchess over the weekend, which
okay.
is Tony Foreman's new place in Hamden. It's in the old Cafe Hun space. Right on the avenue.
Okay, all right.
It looks like an English pub, but they have kind of this... Southeast Asian fusion kind of type menu.
That's
really,
my jam.
Really
now.
Good dinner. Yeah.
All right.
You're going to need a reservation. It's very, very popular. It's hopping. Great scene. Great dinner.
I don't know Tony Foreman. I know some people, but I don't know.
You should get him on
the
show. Wolf and Foreman was Charleston
sure.
and Petit Louis. They have kind of separated their business a little bit now, and Tony's got a couple of different restaurants. He still has Petit Louis and Johnny's and this new place called
I've been
the
wanting to go to Petit Louis for, like, a long time.
Oh, you should definitely check it out. Fantastic food. I think it's one of the most consistent restaurants in Baltimore. Big fan.
Yeah, I know, and I just haven't.
Yeah.
Haven't made it.
Well, I'd be happy to introduce you to Tony sometime. He's a great guy. He's got Bin 604 down in Harbor East.
I've been in there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
I've been happy houring in there back in the
you
day.
You should be getting around to some of his restaurants.
Well, I love the city, and people beat on me because I live 1.6 miles from the city line, you know.
I don't understand it.
I'm in the city 4 days a week, you know. I mean, I'm around here all the time. The people that bag on Baltimore aren't spending time here. And seeing it through the prism of sports and the Orioles and the Ravens are a concert, and I saw CFG had more good news about how well the facility's doing. I'm clearly getting old because I look through the roster now and I'm like, who are they? And what is that? And what, you know, but then, you know, then they do some throwback stuff that I dig. But getting people back into the city, I heard Ivan Bates speak. And I've been trying to get him on. I haven't had him on, but he wants to come on. We'll make it work. I heard him speak to a bunch of people in the county at the Connects event. And I'm at that Connects event almost every month. Katie Griggs is going to speak out there. And there were a goodly amount of people, not as many as when Adam Jones shows up or whatever, but it was a really good spirited conversation about the city and the future and how the counties hold the city together and all that. And you're like, what's a city elected doing out in the county? You're trying to stir up probably all the same things I would have done politically, which is trying to get regional support for the mayor, right? Because I think that for the governor, for anybody, getting that kind of support's important. So he goes through the whole crime thing, tells stories and all that. And at the end, somebody stands up, clearly a Republican, and a BAL, CBM sort of person, and says, "What can we do to help you?" And he said, "Come back to the city, trust the city again, and come be a part of it. Come down, park your car, go eat somewhere good that you want to go. Come to Hamden, start in Hamden. You don't have to start at the harbor. You know what I mean? Come to Coco's, come to Fadley's, wherever you want to go." It's amazing to me how I'm in a room full of people and I spend 4 or 5 days a week. I live down here 19 years, good, bad, ugly, that these people have this aversion to something I do 4 days a week that seems so, like, you're thinking through whether you're going to eat dinner in the city. I hate to laugh out loud about that, but there is a fear mongering that's beyond my comprehension that the city attorney has to go 8 miles from the border and say, "Come back." Like, I don't know. Like, it's Gaza. So, there's a demarcation zone. It's crazy to me.
It's insane. Completely insane.
It is.
I mean, look, I live in Mount Vernon. I've lived my whole life in the city other than when I left for college and graduate school. There are challenges. There are certain urban realities, but there's nowhere else I'd rather be. Nowhere else I'd rather spend time. And, I got nothing against TGI Fridays and Applebee's and Chili's, but, when I can walk to, Prime Rib and Soda Sopra and Tio Pepe's and
Fadley's,
I'm here twice a month, look, Thanksgiving, we have a big pre-Thanksgiving party the Wednesday night.
You did the smoked oysters. Is that what you're saying?
Did the smoked mussels.
Mussels.
But, I come over to Fadley's, I pick up a dozen crab cakes, I go over to Neapol Smokery, I pick up 10 dozen mussels, bunch of steamed shrimp, people pour in, and they're like, "This is fantastic." And it's like, it's easy to park, it's easy getting in and out of the city. I mean, people who complain about traffic and parking, I don't think they've traveled much, and they don't leave their driveway very much, but the city's doing great right now. It's getting better every single day. There's a lot of people who should take pride in that. And when those people are traveling around the country out in Baltimore County, they don't say, "I'm from Halethorpe or Towson." They say they're from Baltimore because that's what people identify with. And, they got to embrace it a little bit more. They got to be a little bit braver. They got to come into the city because they're missing out.
Well, and I think the transition of the harbor and the slow part of that and the slow part of the Bay Bridge. I finally saw Ed Hale's commercial today, right? I've known Ed Hale 35 years, maybe 40 years, 40 years, right? Yeah. So, and I sat in his offices down at First Mariner and dreaming the vision of the port. He always told me there'd be a Target and a Chick-fil-A. And, he envisioned all that a long, long time ago. And the things he's running on the other side of the ticket amaze me. And I haven't sat with him. I'd love to talk to him about all of it. But the vision for what Baltimore is and what it could be, and then I drive past Port Covington. I'll never call it by that other name. And I go through the tunnel, and I see this obvious progress. I see the obvious progress of all sorts of things. Even if you talk to Katie Griggs or Sashi Brown, which I'm not allowed to do, they would say there's progress in their stadia in building out bird wings and bird cages and premium this and whatever. But there's been an investment made here that to me is very obvious. But to point at the hole where the mechanic was instead of pointing at where the Hippodrome is or pointing at the harbor and saying, "Well, what is that?" Well, then just go over to Four Seasons and get a meal for now while we figure this part of it out, because it doesn't all come together. In Boston, they had the big dig. It took 20 years, right, to try to figure things out. But the bridge and the harbor are, to me, from a regional standpoint, for transportation, for tourism, for the bright, shiny object of something that becomes that gateway arch, becomes that Disney World, this stuff's got to happen faster than it's happening. And I'm a Democrat. Oh, I agree. We got Democrats sitting in seats, and I'm not beating on anybody. And clearly, we have a huge wedge with basically a Nazi running the country. And I think that's a challenge for us. But getting up 5-10 years from now, the harbor and Key Bridge, these things have to get done. And yeah, I think look, that those are the most important things.
We got to execute. There's no question. Look, there are definitely headwinds, okay? And better is not good enough when it comes to the city. Yes, things are getting better. Yes, the city is safer, but we got to stay on that right momentum. The public safety headwinds were very, very strong, and they were very, very real. And we got to keep the mayor and the state's attorney and the governor and everybody who's contributing to the improvement in public safety on the same page, rowing in the same direction, and not getting sidetracked on, you know, unfortunate, you know, arguments. They want to argue over who deserves the credit. That's a much better place to be than arguing over who should have the blame in terms of what's going on right now. But what you said about the bridge, what you said about the harbor, we got Dave Bramble and MCB in place for the harbor. I'm very, very bullish on what he's going to try to do down there. He's a local guy. He is brings a huge amount of experience and resources. He's got a vision. He's got a great team. We execute. We get the harbor going in the right direction. And then the governor and, you know, the team in Annapolis have to figure out how to get the key bridge rebuilt. That's a key piece of infrastructure. You know, you think about commute times. You think about the movement of goods and services and traffic and people going to work.
It has changed transportation here in a way. First off, you and I could have never thought the bridge is going to go down in the middle of the night, right?
No.
So, like, I had never thought about that. And I thought, and then I was so emotional about it in the beginning from the Dundalk standpoint of and the Baltimore part. It didn't take long to realize, you know, a friend of mine's an Uber driver. He's like, everything changed that day. Like, literally, especially if you're Glen Burnie-ish or if you're topside of the Beltway where I am in Towson, the tie-ups on the top side are absolutely related to transportation vehicles that no longer have that as an outlet.
Yep.
That they have to go White Marsh to Lansdowne through Pikesville. Like, literally, right?
It's nothing that was ever foreseeable.
For a decade or 6 years or however long it's going to take, there was a reason that thing was built 60 years ago, right? Literally.
Yeah. No. It was a terrible tragedy, and now we're going to be measured on how we respond, you know, and we got to figure out a financing plan. We got to get that thing rebuilt, and we got to get it moving. So Mac, people can get moving.
Mac Gallagher's here. He runs the Gold Secker Foundation. We're down here at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by our friends at GBMC who help keep me alive, as well as our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. I'm going to have some candy cane scented. It smells like a peppermint next week. I'm looking forward to that. Acostas and a Gertrude's. John Shields has the gingerbread thing going on there at Gertrude's in the city, by the way. So, man, I'm doing six shows. So I'm here. Let's see here. Here I'm at Deep Pasquale's in the city. Friday, I'm in Halethorpe. I'm six blocks from Cherry Hill, right? And I've never been to Honey's in Halethorpe. Asian, it's going to be delicious. Then let's see. Next week, I'm in Costas. Dundalk's not the city, but it's an adjunct. It's a shoulder community. And then I'm back in the city at Gertrude's at the BMA. And then I'm in Timonium at Planet Fitness. So what's that? Three out of six? Three out of six, right? Four out of six, whatever.
You got room for improvement.
I'm coming back to Coco's. I'm coming back to Coco's.
That's great.
I had pizza at Pizza John's the other day. It's Essex.
Have you ever done a pizza tour? Has it always been crab cakes?
Nah,
and
man, that dude that fosters all that negativity does the pizza thing. That's been done.
Okay. All right.
If I'm gonna, I did oysters.
I know. I was just curious.
I was thinking about it
on the way over.
And I've got a couple. Like, I've got a favorite cream of crab, and I've got a favorite Maryland crab soup. But I think that might be the next thing I do. But I did my 27 favorite things to eat in August. You saw that, right?
I did. I know you're a pizza guy, you know. So I mean, I see you getting the Papa John's, and you know.
I don't get you. It's Pizza John's. I don't get any damn Papa John's. What's wrong with you?
Sorry,
Papa John's. That guy. Talk about problems off, you know, off the field. That guy had some off the field issues.
I misspoke. I'm sorry.
What you saw was you see me eating a lot when I'm in New York. And in New York, I think I had three or four slices of pizza in a day and a half because it's cheap and it's easy and I like it and it's delicious and it's exploratory. But I don't, you know, I like pizza, but I don't want to eat it 50 times a year. I mean, I'm not like that. And I got my spots. You got a pizza spot? Where do you go for pizza?
I'm generally Verde or Hershey's.
I love Verde.
Yeah. Those are my two go-tos.
I haven't been to Hershey's.
Hershey's is down kind of right before you get to the bridge heading into South Baltimore.
I know where that is.
Yeah. It's a great spot. Really good.
I
love Pauly G's in Hamden, which is closed now. But
I'm going to give it Pasta Mista makes a very nice slice for me in Towson. You know, while I'm giving free pizza secret, I mean, go to Pizza John's, start there and end there. But I was told by Nancy Longo, foodie, she goes to Di Pasquale's and gets pizza. She said once she started getting pizza there, she hasn't gotten it anywhere else. So I'm there tomorrow.
I think their pizza's very good.
I'm there tomorrow, and I have not had a pizza from there.
Okay.
So I might be having a pizza at Di Pasquale's.
Yeah, I mean, look, their menu is so strong, and there's so many great things to eat at Di Pasquale's.
I mean, you could go there every day for a year and eat something completely different.
But I think their meatball subs are great. I think their chicken noodle is really good.
Keep going. I'm there tomorrow. I want to take some.
You can't go wrong with that menu.
So
they're fantastic.
We shop there and take food home. So the sausage is our thing there, right? Darren is the sausage king. Darren's going to be doing the show tomorrow, and he told me sending me home with some sort of provolone and prosciutto and some sort of jalapeno. He's sending me home with a bunch of sausage, but my wife was really in the mood to make a sausage and lentil soup. It's one of my favorites, and my wife makes the greatest soups on earth, period. And I said, well, let's go down to Di Pasquale's. And we went in, and not only am I going to be there this week, because I went in and Domenico was there, and I'm like, hey, I want to do the show here. But she went home, and we got about 8 or 10 links, and she made down the vat, and we've bagged about 7 or 8 bags of it. I can have it. If it snows in, first day it snows, we're having soup, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. But we get the dry pastas and the frozen pastas there, like the manicotti. We've gotten the spinach ravioli in the frozen and bring that home, and they're gonna get mad at me, but I get Amici sauce because that's my family there, right? So Amici's does sauce in vats for me, and I freeze down the sauces, and then I come home and I do the best of both worlds, like a Van Halen song. But we've also found this wine infused pasta, like a fettuccine, wine fettuccine, game changer. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten into Gucci pastas. I have found that I love Amici sauce, and I'm going to take some Di Pasquale sauce home, too, because I like trying sauces. I went to Pastore's and had their meatballs a couple weeks ago up at Towson.
But, I mean, you think about Di Pasquale's, Trinacria, Pastore's.
Sure.
We have, like, real, authentic, and pretty affordable Italian markets.
Real Italian people.
Yeah, but you go to these other cities and, you know, the Bruno Brothers and Italy and all these places, like, they're great places, but, like, it's an arm and a leg, you know, to eat there, to buy stuff there. Like, these still have authentic market feels, and the people who work there are authentic Italians. Like, you know, it's the real deal.
Right,
we're blessed, and we have a very, very high and solid concentration of Italian markets.
All right, I got to say something here, and I'm going to embarrass myself, all right? Which is not the first time, especially in your presence, even though we did have a video with 3.2 million views on it at one point. I have never been to Trinacria.
Jesus. Come on, man. Get the pronunciation
right. Go ahead.
Trinacria. They're right over here in the market.
Let me tell you. Hold on a minute. It keeps showing up on my timeline. And if you went through my Google search, if you checked my AI clone, I Googled it in the last 72 hours. I thought it must have been on Harford Road or Bel Air. I just didn't know. And I see the name. I see the pictures. I see the meats. I see the Italian stuff. I see people getting sandwiches. I see people posting. I lived downtown for 19 years. I just have never been.
Yeah.
Is it Park? Where is it?
It's 2 blocks down on the left. But right over here, they have a market presence as well. So, right. Trinacria, right here, straight ahead. Look.
Hold on.
Trinacria.
Was that there a month ago?
Yes.
How long has it been there?
It's been there since the market opened, the new market. No,
look at the sign.
That's an outpost. The actual market is like 2 blocks up on the left. Like,
no,
seriously.
Wonder it keeps showing up on my timeline.
Because
I'm doing
up.
My show 8 feet away.
I know.
From their pizza subs, catering, and homemade lasagna.
For sandwiches, cheese, for, you know, wine that looks like it fell off the back of an 18-wheeler.
I'm an embarrassment to this city. I am.
I think we can address this deficiency very, very
bless
quickly.
Me, Matt Gallagher, for I have sinned. It has been 57 years since I have been to
The first step is admitting you have a problem. And you
well,
can,
I
you can
haven't
fix
had
this.
These muscles that you tell me these. But what's the place called?
Neapole Smokery.
Neapole.
You haven't had them at Belvedere Square?
No.
I've
been in Belvedere Square many times.
Their production kitchen is less than a mile from here. We can do a field trip one day.
All right.
We can hit Trinacria. We can hit Neapol.
I would do the show from Belvedere Square anytime you want. I would go do that.
I'm sure they would love to have you.
Yeah.
I think you might have to give some love to some of the other public markets at some point. And I'm going to give a big plug to Shayna Hernandez. She's the new president and CEO of the Baltimore Public Markets Corporation.
Now that is, you gotta get her on the show. That is Cross, Hollins, Mount Vernon.
Not Mount Vernon.
No, not. Okay.
Cross Street.
Cross Street here.
Hollins, Lexington, North.
Belvedere? No.
No, Belvedere is a private market. Which one am I missing?
Fells Point.
And Broadway market.
Fells Point. That's what I was going to say. Okay.
Yeah. So it's the oldest public markets corporation in the country. Baltimore is really ground zero for public markets, like the whole idea and the concept. And Shayna is the new incumbent.
I didn't know that. Baltimore's ground zero for public. Because I think of Boston, Philly has a thing like this, right? D.C. has things.
Yep.
But Baltimore, because maybe of the seafood and the port and the oysters and the water being near here.
We have a network.
It became more. I'm talking 150, 200 years ago, right? Like at the dawn of Lexington Market, right? Like that's the beginning of public markets, right?
Yes.
Well, there wasn't a Chicago then, or there wasn't a San Francisco then,
I'm pretty sure. We'll have to fact check this later. I'm sure AI will catch up with it, you know. I think it's the oldest public markets corporation in the country.
All right.
Yeah.
I love that, though.
Yeah, but you got to have her on and
let's
talk
go,
about
Let's go, Shayna. Where are you?
Plans.
Let's go.
She's starting first week in January. Right. I'm sure she'll come on.
All right. Well, I'll do a broadcast from wherever you want me to, as long as I learn how to pronounce Trinacria, not Trinacria.
Close enough.
What did I call it? Trin.
Yeah, you
Say
got
it, right.
it. You got it. Trinacria.
Listen, I'm opening. That's
no,
why
no,
I have
no,
you
no,
on.
I know. I know. I'm here to help.
I'm trying to find other places I haven't eaten, which is why you can't eat everywhere, right? So that's why I did my 27 favorite things to eat, because they really are my. I went to Happy China the other night. I mean, my favorite places. I'm not BSing. I'm still like my Indian thing has been a little disjointed because my favorite Indian place closed down. So when that happened, but the Himalayan House has been very nice to me. The folks over here at Lumbini, right here in the market. You like Indian food?
I do.
What don't you like? Because you eat a lot of really strange things, man.
You know, there was a long time I wasn't into sushi, but like my kids absolutely love sushi. So like just to have a chance to spend time with them, now I'm a big sushi fan. So
what's your role? What do you got to go to?
I mean, I'm like spicy tuna. You know, like, I mean,
basic.
I let them buy whatever they want, order whatever they want. I like to try all the different ones.
All right, Matt Gallagher's here from the Gold Secker Foundation. And I tried to keep this polite the first half hour about Baltimore and good. Let's get into the down and dirty here on.
Let it rip.
This guy running the country, I don't know, on a daily basis. It's unlike anything we've ever seen or witnessed, and it's not being treated as such by many people I know who voted for it, who have been really, really ignorant to facts. Ignorant meaning ignoring. Root of ignorant isn't you're a jerk. You might be a jerk if you ignore things like racism. Just little things like just seeing KISS down at the Kennedy Center, where I have a dear friend of mine who's employed there who has been really kind of tortured. And Chainsaw, Nazi richest guy in the world, coming in and ripping our government apart and then being called a drug addict and then being back on a plane eating hamburgers. I don't know that it's meant to add up or not add up with Saudi Arabian princes, where with the Russian mob. Like, I could go through all of it that's not even Epstein related, which is, if there's anything to bring him down, pedophilia probably should be the thing, I would think.
All right, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, there. Well, it's been a hell of a 10 years.
No, look, I would say the zone is kind of flooded, so to say.
Well, isn't that Russian tradition? Is really? Flood the zone, right? Isn't that what it is? Right.
So I would say that over the last 10 years, you've had a situation where our federal government and the institution of government really underwent like a very rigorous 4-year stress test. You know, a lot of bounds were pushed, a lot of A lot of tough times, and we came through
that.
It's
not like they went down to the Capitol and tried to overthrow an election or anything, right? I mean, it's not like that happened.
I think inconceivable things, you know, it's like Princess Bride, when they kept saying inconceivable, 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 and he's like, I don't think that means what you think it means, because everything was inconceivable. It's, you know, I think we've gone from the stress test portion of the test to the siege. You know, and now everybody's kind of digging in. Everybody's trying to hold on. Everybody is trying to kind of figure out where the battle lines are going to be. And they're trying to make it to, like, the next big milestone. In this case, it'll be the midterms. Okay.
Well, and how much they can get away with in their hometown, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, how much this nonsense doesn't play with smart people and educated people for the most part. Maybe it plays with money people or people who live in a gated community somewhere. But in a general sense, when your town is flooded in Western Maryland and you voted 92% for Trump, and Trump is making fun of your governor and says, I'm not going to send you money, that does not engender the kind of feeling that maybe he thinks it does. But I always think his dementia and dementedness and incredible, like all of that, as it gets older and 80 years old, the tiredness part of it, I keep thinking there's going to be an end to it.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can continue to go on and think this can't be a way of life that we're going to be with the Russians.
Yeah, look.
I mean, that I'm going to feel funny going to Canada for a weekend.
There is going to be an end to it one way or another, and a lot of it's going to hinge on how we respond to that. Like, is this the new normal? Is this the new norm? Or is this anomalous right now? And look, I think the good news is this is the greatest country in the history of the world, okay? And I don't think that that's an overstatement. Democracy, you know, market-driven economy, incredible education systems, you know, yes, we have issues with poverty, but we have social networks. We have social safety nets. We have been on the ascent for literally centuries. And we have to trust in that, but we can't, you know, believe too much in it. We all have a responsibility to
protect. But none of this is what built it. None of these ideals or ideas.
Yeah, but we all have a responsibility.
They're in general, all the things that made America falter when it faltered, like literally.
But we all have a responsibility to protect it, to get it back on the right trajectory. There's a lot of disagreement right now as to whether or not, like, how we should be doing that.
Well, but buying judges and having the richest people in the world fund their ideology through this con man has just, it's been quite a thing to witness in my life. I hope I'm here to witness the end of this. I've talked to you about AI, like, just in the last month. You said inconceivable, inconceivable. Things are happening for me in the blink of an eye in regard to ideologies and things in my own little world on a ChatGPT that have been inconceivable information-wise for me. A month ago, they were inconceivable to me. To me, it's inconceivable that this could stand in our country, that this is not temporary, that this could not be permanent unless all of us perish. I mean,
yeah,
literally.
And look, like, less than a year from now, like, people are going to have a chance to say, do they support what's going on in the country right now? That's what the midterms are. And then you're going to have, you know, 3 years from now, another presidential election, and people are going to be able to choose, is this what they signed up for? Is this what they want? And I think a lot of people are going to choose differently this time around.
Matt Gallagher's here. We're trying to talk about good things in the city. And best things in the city for you and things that you look at, because you were a metric. Tell me what your job was in the city and with the state so they know literally what you did with Martin O'Malley and what you've done, that you're not just some dude on the corner here when I'm asking you about metrics and stuff, that it's a serious operation for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, the city's a multi-billion-dollar organization. The state's a, you know, tens of billions of dollar organization. And when I worked in the mayor's office for Mayor O'Malley, I had kind of a chief operating officer responsibility. It was really meant to take a look at all the operations and finances of the government, try to keep things on track from
where the money goes, basically.
Well,
right?
Look, the water running through the pipes, to the lighting of the streetlights, to the fire trucks and the police cars, you name it. And then when I went to the state, I was the governor's chief of staff, and that was just overseeing all the facets of state government and the 50,000 executive branch employees. So
when you measure the city 20 years later after being a part of running it, what are newspaper looks at murders, right? Crime, or whatever crime means, whether it's pickpocket, pull a gun out, robbed, breaking it. I don't even know those facets of how all of that. And listen, it's been so crooked in the city with cops and stuff that I'm and people have been so crooked in regard to my journalism, in regard to baking numbers and what institutes a crime or a victim or. We all know what a murder is. That's right. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Homicides, okay. Robberies, aggravated assaults, rapes. Those are part one violent crimes.
Right.
Okay. Everybody zeroes in on homicides, but when you think about crime, it's a relatively small number of incidents. But if you're not doing a great job managing robberies and aggravated assaults, oftentimes they will escalate into homicides and non-fatal shootings. So the good news is the city's doing a lot better in terms of homicides and non-fatal shootings. And from 2000 to 2014, you had 15 straight years of 300 or fewer homicides. You had a couple of years of fewer than 200 homicides. Unfortunately, after the civic unrest and the Freddie Gray, we had a period from 2015 until just a few years ago where we were well over 300 homicides. And that took all the focus. A lot of people, a lot of hard work, the mayor, the state's attorney, the governor, the Department of Public Safety, parole and probation, great organizations like ROCA, they've started to turn the tide on violent crime. You've seen homicides and non-fatal shootings go down. It's hard to fudge a homicide and a non-fatal shooting. You're either shot or you're not. You're either dead or you're not. You're either at the morgue or you're not, or the ER or you're not. Where people have played games in the past sometimes is on robberies and aggravated assaults and like downgrading it and that wasn't an incident, that type of stuff.
The perception there's a carjacking going on in every corner here all day is crazy,
yeah,
right?
It is totally crazy.
Yeah.
It's totally crazy. So we're still way more violent than anybody wants. We still got to continue to maintain those reductions in homicides and non-fatal shootings. It's why it's so important that everybody work together, because somebody falls out of line, some part of the public safety continuum breaks down or gets mad at a different part of the continuum, then things really do start to come off the rails. And back in 2014, when everybody thought, hey, we've been doing great for 15 years, we've been getting better, you know, we had like an 8-9 year kind of, we went sideways and then we went in the wrong direction. So we can't risk that happening again. So if we can harness the cooperation, the coordination, the coaxing and cajoling of all these partners to work together, and we can put it towards public infrastructure, public health, public works, public education, you know, we've got an opportunity to kind of build on these public safety gains. So that's what all of us should be working on right now.
Well, and that's job one. Then there's everything else economically that lives around that, that crime becomes a shadow for why people don't spend a buck, move in, hang out, come down, leave some money behind, leave some time behind, even make a memory that would bring them back, like the way the Harbor did for me for so many years.
Learn more, earn more, stay. We got to stabilize the population in the city, and then we've got to grow it. And there's a lot of efforts right now to try to turn around the vacant housing situation, to drive down the, you know, the 12 to 14,000 vacant properties we have in the city. We are still by far the most affordable place to be. When you look at D.C., you look at Philadelphia, you look at New York, you look at that Amtrak corridor all the way up to Boston. If you're a young professional, if you're getting out of school, whether you went to college, whether you got a, you know, a trade, if you wanted to buy a house, this is the place to do it. This is the place you can afford it. This is the place you don't have to wait until you're in your 40s to get your first house. So we have to really articulate that opportunity. We got to make people feel confident in that opportunity, and we want them to be successful here.
I call it the land of pleasant living on purpose, right? I mean, when I go outside of the city and I see other places and I see their benefits and stuff, I'm always happy that I live here.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I'm always happy that I every part of it. Matt Gallagher's here. I'm happy to be at Fadley's at Lexington Market. I'm happy to have some Raven scratch-offs giveaway from the Maryland Lottery. It's my last batch because the season's, right? I mean, it's been tough. It's been a tough sports year, right? Like, I don't ever talk sports with you, but you're a sports guy.
Big time.
Just, I remember 2 years ago sitting at a Coco's with Dave Shinen and Rasig, and this is when the Orioles really, summer 23, They were really, it was August. The Ravens, we were about to have the championship game here, right? Going into that, it was like, who's going to win first, the Orioles or the Ravens? And Shinen, who lives over in Butcher's Hill, Washington Post guy, but really lived in Baltimore for 30 years. I said, who's going to win first? He's like, neither one. It's too hard to do. And I'm like, oh, here we are 2 years later, and it's hard to do, man. It really is.
It is hard to do. And look, I mean, it was a down year for the Orioles. It's been a down year for the Ravens. I mean, I still have hope for the Ravens. I still think they could back into the playoffs. And I tell you what.
They're not going to back in. They're going to have to win in.
No, I know. But
they can't lose
if they're going to get in at 9-8, you know.
That's not backing in. If they beat New England and Green Bay, I'm not going to call that backing in.
I'm not saying back. Look,
you're going to feel differently about them if they beat New England and Green Bay.
I know, but if they get into the playoffs, I guarantee you that's the team nobody wants to play. Because they'll have been playing better down the stretch. They'll say they've underperformed all year.
Sure.
They've had a lot of breaks go against them.
Tell me how healthy Lamar's going to be on January 1st, and I'll tell you how they're doing. Like,
well,
the only thing
I can tell you is he can't be healthy. You know, I mean, I know everybody's like, what's wrong? What's wrong with the Ravens? Like, he doesn't look the same. He's not himself. And look, that guy should have enough credibility in this town for the people who are kind of talking him down right now. They are out of their minds, okay? Out of their minds.
I do not disagree with that, but I also look at it and say they're going to have to renegotiate with him in the offseason. They're going to have to keep him. So they're not, and we all saw how difficult negotiating has been, right? They're going to have to keep him and put a number on it and put where they are, but he's also going to be a diminishing asset very, very shortly in regard to speed and in regard to what that is. And part of that this year is the offensive line's not good enough. It's not about Lamar not being good enough for me. It's been about the offensive line and really the defense not being good enough as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback.
It's a team sport.
Yeah, and I think the offensive line challenges were underplayed at the beginning of the season, and it's very, very evident right now.
Well, that's why we don't want blind optimism, which is why I always say to you, data that Baltimore's getting better. So I'm going to leave it with this before I go get some fish and feast. You don't do the Feast of the Seven Fishes, or is that not part of your jam?
You know, I mean, I do the Feast of the Seven Fishes, but usually that's a lot of fishes. So, just give me my crab cake. That's what I
generally like. Nancy's tried to talk me into this. John Shields and Dan Roderick's last year, we did a whole segment on it.
It's an event. You know, it's an event.
And I'm Italian.
And
I spoke to the Italian group last month. I've never had the feet. I've never done. Is the muscles part of that or no?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I was going to eat seven fishes, I would have different seven fishes probably. But, you know.
All right. Give me some numbers that you like about Baltimore in some way. It's never the tax number or whatever, but you measured all of these things. Give me some indicators, economic indicators, beyond your eyeballs, and you got a good meal last week here.
Homicides and non-fatal shootings going down.
Okay.
Big positive indicator. Number of schools and students in Baltimore City Public Schools at or above statewide averages in reading and math getting better. Number of schools that have improved on the statewide rating system getting better. Those are really, really good positive indicators for the city. We got to keep those trajectories going. We got to accelerate them wherever possible. There seems to be a good amount of private market activity right now in terms of housing redevelopment.
We're undervalued in that market space. For everything you just
there's
said,
still
it's
value.
To live here.
There's
right.
still
okay.
value here.
Banks aren't saying it's burning down. We're not going in.
Yeah.
Right.
The governor and the state of Maryland have committed $750 million over the next 15 years to vacancy reduction. The city has $150 million, it's called a non-contiguous TIF, which we would need an hour to explain, but that's $900 million in public resources over the next 15 years that are going to go into vacancy reduction in the city. So that's a combination of property acquisition, disposition, demolition, rehab.
Make it a park, make it something.
Which is really going to help with the physical appearance, the quality of neighborhoods, the offering.
I saw
housing.
That in Detroit, by the way, when I went in, just things that disappeared and came back up differently, right?
So, I mean, that could be a whole other show, but I think what Detroit's got going for them is an incredible marketing team, because I've spent time in Baltimore, I've spent time in Detroit, I'll take Baltimore every day of the week and twice on Sunday. They're really, really good in Detroit about their storytelling, but I wouldn't trade places with them.
I just see economic
anything.
Things that happen when I go in other places where things go up. Two people were here, a young lady and a man who were pharmacy students here 7 years ago. They came back to have a crab cake here at Fadley's, and they're like, we haven't been in a new market. This is great. So the thing that they're seeing is things getting better. you know, a place I went before and I came back and said, have they made it better? Has it gotten worse? What's the neighborhood like and all that? I think Baltimore's got a lot of places when I bring people in, say, I haven't been here in a while, where I can take you places and say, we're on the move here. Things are getting better.
Yeah, I agree.
Matt Gallagher's here, Goldsecker Foundation. Happy holidays to you.
You too, man. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And great job getting a colonoscopy.
Hey, man, I'm the world's worst. I have to apologize to my doctor. I'm going to take crab cakes up to the whole staff there because they were so nice to me at GBMC. But I am a traumatized medical. Maybe when my finger got cut off when I was 3.
You did the right thing telling your story. It's going to help people that you're never going to meet or touch. And that's a really,
you believe
really
that?
Positive. I really do.
All right.
I really do.
Well, I would say this when
you're kind of like a much worse looking Katie Couric.
When I bragged about it out on LinkedIn and Facebook, I didn't brag about it. I was just driving home and I felt awful and I thought they told me that I would have had cancer and that bad things would have happened if I didn't do. Like, they told me that as I was groggy walking out and I knew this and I put that picture up and I just said, hey man, these people were so nice to me and I was such a jerk and I was throwing up this morning and I was doing all the things you do when you colonoscopy and I'm like not a good patient. After my finger got cut off when I was 3, I don't do well in hospitals like in that way, and my wife, all that she went through. So I had a bad day, and I put the picture up. It turned out to be like the most shared thing and the most read thing that I had this fall, above everything else, that people did respond to it. So let me know people care about me, but it also was a great reminder to anybody that hasn't had it done. Like, I look healthy and all, but like, thanks Planet Fitness, but like, you got to go do it.
You got to
do
it.
You got to do it.
Yep. And the prep is worse than the procedure. It's the best sleep of your life, you know, all those things. But demystifying it, encouraging people, getting them over that
It really
hump.
Wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad.
Exactly.
I'm just a sissy, you know? That's all.
Can't disagree with you on that.
All right, there it is. Matt Gallagher, right. We're Fadley's. We're going to go have a crab cake. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery and GBMC. Back for more. It's Baltimore Positive. It's the holidays, and I'm with friends. I'm digging it.